before we start, would you guys just pray with me? Lord God, we pray that we would just give you our all this morning. That as we come into your word, you would just increase our view of you. Humble us before you this morning, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. As we get started this morning, Josh is going to come up and we're going to do a little skit for you this morning. We did not make it up, I promise. So it'll actually be good.
God?
God.
Yeah, I'm here.
No, it's me. And I know it's it's been a really long time. And that's totally my fault. But I think I've got the verbiage worked out. And I've got it down. So I'm going to pray to you right now. And I think you're going to be impressed. I think you're going to be impressed. So here I go. Oh, Heavenly Father, beseech me not unto thee. How now, brown cow? Mine soul is so dry, if I could just catch a morsel of who you are. So verily, merrily, down the stream? My soul is so dry, if I could just catch a morsel of who you are. Thine hast heard thou prayer? I'm a poet, and I didn't know it.
You can talk to me normally.
Amen.
God?
I'm here.
Yeah, I know we haven't talked in a while. I've been kind of busy. But I have a couple. I have my prayer requests written down on my prayer list here. So I'm just going to lift these suckers up to you. First of all, there's my mom, Lord. She needs your help. Could you just get her off my back? I'm a grown man. All that woman is yap, yap, yap. Could you, like, take your big, like, God remote thing and, like, press mute on her channel? Oh, and then there's, my car. It's a Pacer. And they weren't really cool when they came out. And they're just definitely not cool now. So if you could, I don't know, use your big, like, God wand thingy and, I don't know, change it into something nicer. You know, nothing extravagant. A Lamborghini would be nice. Then there's this Jenny at work. She's kind of made in your image. And, yeah. When she sees me, she kind of has that look where she's going to throw up in her mouth a little. So if you could, I don't know, make it when she sees me, she doesn't see me. She sees, I don't know, Brad Pitt. That'd be dandy. Oh, there's a lot of them here, so I could read them, or you could. Oh, you're a speed reader, right? Amen.
So much more I wanted to say to you. God.
Yeah, I'm here.
It's me, and my life is just so crazy right now. It's chaotic, and when I gave my life over to you, I didn't know it was going to be like this. I'm still trying to lose holiday weight from two Christmases ago. And I can't. I don't know what's wrong, but no matter what I try, some kind of obstacle always gets in the way. Like the other day, I was getting ready to go on this 5 mile, okay, 1 mile run, and this dog comes out of nowhere and just bites my leg, and he's all like, arr, 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 arr. I don't deserve any of this. I didn't deserve that. Okay, I'm just going to be real now. Slept on the couch again last night. Fourth time in a row.
I know.
The kids are starting to pick up on things. I know I made a mess of my life. I know it. But I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to fix it, okay? I mean, do you even hear me?
Yes, I'm right
because
here.
Every time I pray, I feel like my prayers are just bouncing off the walls. When does this get better? What's the use? What's the use? Amen.
There's so much more I wanted to tell you. God.
I'm here.
God, I'm here. God, draw near. Come to me, my Savior. I love you. You're so grandiose. I'm so tiny mouse. You're the one for all time. God, are you laughing at me?
Sorry.
You're my master, savior, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Hello, Lord, mighty God. Look at me, world, I'm praying.
Yeah, but to who?
Amen.
There's so much more I wanted to say to you. God?
Yeah, I'm right here.
I just wanted to come to you before I go to bed tonight. I just wanted to say thank you for this awesome playground we call Earth. It's just so amazing. And I just want to give you... God, I just want to be salt and light to the world, you know? I just want to be salt and light. I just want to be a big old bag of salt and light. Lol. And sight, and pepperoni, and oregano, did I leave a window open? Oh, God, I just want to give you the best of me, because you deserve that, and I just want to do that every day. I just want to give you the best of me.
Man, there's so much more I wanted to tell you. God?
I'm here.
You're so amazing. You're better than anything this world has to offer.
I love you too.
But
I just need you to trust me. Not just when calamity happens, or when chaos happens, or when you don't get your way, even in the most ordinary of days, I'm weaving something. I just need you to trust me.
I know, Lord. I'm going to walk hand in hand with you. And even as I talk about trusting you, there's some things I need. I'm not asking for anything extravagant. Just take care of my daily needs.
I know your needs before you know your needs. And that's where this relationship gets mixed up sometimes, because you go after the things you want. You go after the things you think you deserve, rather than relying on me for your daily bread. You know, look at the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. I take care of them. How much more am I going to take care of my own kids?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I forget that. I'm sorry because I blew so many times today. Could you forgive me?
I've forgiven it. I've forgotten it. You're the one that keeps bringing it up. You're the one that keeps bringing up the things of your past and replaying them over and over again. All that does is produce shame and guilt, and that's not why I created you. There's a purpose and a reason for you. But you need to trust me. Quit beating yourself up about the past.
Yes. Sorry, could you just help me to walk?
Shh.
So that I don't fall down.
Shh.
Because when I...
Shh.
Excuse me?
My children talk way too much.
I thought that was what we were supposed to do.
No. They're always just so busy. They never just be still. There's so many things distracting them. It's hard to connect. Just be still and know that I am God, the great I am.
Yes, Lord. I'm sorry I forget that. I'm sorry I forget to slow down. If it's okay, could I just worship you?
I'd love that.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
I want each of you to just take a minute and close your eyes. And as honestly as possible, I want you to answer this question. What comes to your mind when you think about God? You can open your eyes, yeah. But I just want you to really think about that question this morning. What comes to your mind when you think about God? Because the answer to that question is one of the most important things about you. And sometimes our view of God gets skewed. It gets a little off track. Or way off track. And a few months ago, I took a class called Theology and Practice of Worship, which sounds really fancy. But just getting a better understanding of worship. And for that class, we had to read a book called Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. I don't know if any of you have read that book or not. But that book hit me square between the eyes. And in it, Tozer says this: the message of this book is called forth by a condition which has existed in the church for some years and is steadily growing worse. I refer to the loss of the concept of majesty from the popular religious mind. The church has surrendered her once lofty concept of God and has substituted for it one so low, so ignoble, as to be utterly unworthy of thinking, worshiping men. This she has done not literally, but little by little, and without her knowledge, and her very unawareness only makes the situation more tragic. Because of this loss of sense of majesty that we have, we've lost our awe of God. Our consciousness of His presence in our lives. We have lost the spirit of worship and our ability to withdraw inwardly and to meet with God silently. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And the sad thing is that these words mean pretty much nothing to the self-confident, busy, bustling worshiper of the 21st century. We're too busy. We don't know what it means to be still and know that He is God. And our lack of knowledge of the Holy has brought us here. It's impossible to keep our actions sound and our thoughts in the right place when our view of God is flawed and inadequate. And if we want to bring back spiritual power into our lives, we need to start by getting a more accurate view of who God is and what He's like. There is absolutely no question that your thoughts of who God is and what God is like are hugely important. And the weightiest word in any language is its word for God. I was talking to my brother-in-law while we were on vacation. And we were talking about why did we stop using the word Yahweh and switch to Lord. There's like a very clear switch in Scripture. And so we kind of looked it up. We weren't really sure. And it turns out that the Jews stopped using the word Yahweh because they felt unworthy to say the name of God that he spoke to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3:14 when he said, I am that I am. They switched to use Adonai, which means Lord, because they didn't feel worthy to utter the name of God. They switched their word because of the amount of reverence in their hearts. That's unbelievable. Having our idea of God match with the true being of God is crucial. Our real idea of God, the one that we have, that we might have to dig to get, lies buried beneath so much stuff. And it might take some painful probing, some real digging, to get to our real answer to that question that I asked you. Because it's really easy to convince ourselves that we've got the right view of God, when in reality, we might not. We go about our lives thinking that everything's on track and that we have a good understanding of who God is. But I want to challenge you to dig deep and to really find the honest answer to the question that I asked you. When you think about God, what do you think about? Who is he? I don't know if you realize this or not, but when you worship a version of God that is anything other than true, that's actually idolatry. You might be worshiping God, but it's some different version of him that you've come up with. Exodus 20, verse 4, the second commandment. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. It's idolatry when we worship a version of God that isn't him. You know, the idolatrous heart assumes that God is other than he is and then substitutes in a version that fits what we want. A version in our likeness rather than us being in his likeness. And the essence of idolatry is entertaining thoughts about God that are not worthy of him. Thoughts that just don't fit who he is. And when we create our own version of God, we're making something in the form of anything in heaven, and heaven above, on the earth below, in the waters under the earth. We're breaking the second commandment. So, Paul really nails it in Romans chapter 1. Starting in verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Wrong ideas about God are idolatrous. And the idolater simply imagines things about God and acts as if they were true, whether it's intentional or not. Sometimes we create God to be what we need at the moment, or what we want Him to be like, instead of what He actually is like. And the first step down for anybody on this path is getting a wrong answer to the question, what is God like? We have a responsibility to purify and elevate our view of God until it is one that is worthy of Him, one that is true to who He is. The thing that stands between us and God is us not taking the time to get to know Him. Is us not taking the time to figure out what He's really like. If we had a true and full understanding of who God is, we would always be in awe of Him. We would always be aware of His presence in our lives. It's hard to believe that life was over a month ago now. But at that conference, Francis Chan was speaking in the second session. I mean, he hit us hard even like from the get-go. They all really did. But he began to challenge us to take the Bible and read it for ourselves. You know, he would be challenging you to stop taking my word for it and go find out who God is for yourself. Spend time in His Word, getting to know Him. And I promise you that if you begin to understand God, if you begin to gain knowledge of the holy, the way you think, the way you live, the way you pray will change. You will be different. You will no longer be able to sit there and talk to God like He is no big deal, because He is a big deal. And we need to think of Him like that. And I guarantee you that whatever view of God you have in your mind right now, it's not big enough. Not that we are capable of having a view of God that's big enough, but we got to try. We're all going to face Him one day. We're all going to stand right before Him. Everyone in this room will. And I promise you that when that day comes, each and every one of us is going to cower and collapse. Because He is so amazing. Everyone is going to be thinking, I have never seen anything like this before. Never before. We shouldn't be consumed with our grocery list of prayer requests or the verbiage that we use or the dance moves that we use. We should be consumed with one thing. That one day we are going to face Him. We're going to stand before Him in His presence, literally. Think about that for a minute. You're going to see Him face to face. When Moses asked if he could see God's face, God said, you could see my back. Because if you looked at my face, you would die. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah enters into the throne room and his immediate reaction is, I am ruined. That's incredible. And John, in Revelation chapter 4, the vision that he lays out is incredible. And when we were at Life, Francis Chan really walked us through this We're going to do that this morning. We're going to sit on this passage for a little bit and try to allow the Word of God to increase our view of Him. As a little bit of practice for looking at other scripture. But when we're going to face God, and that's what he is describing in chapter 4 when he went up to the throne room. And it's so intense. I don't know what picture you have of God. I know a picture I have of God. But as humans, we generally try to just relate him to things that we can see and understand. It's just the way our minds work. You know, we think, oh, he's probably like me, a little bigger maybe. And what other option do we really have? We can't comprehend him. That's just the way that we think. But John here tries to describe what he saw, and he is just reaching for words to help relate it so that we can understand it a little bit. So, starting in verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Let's stop there for a minute. First of all, he looks up and he sees a door to heaven. I almost said a heaven to door. That makes sense. He sees a door to heaven. And then a voice that sounds like a trumpet says, come up here. Hold on. Somebody just invited me to go to heaven. What's going on here? Okay, then all of a sudden, in his spirit, he goes up and he is in the presence of God, standing before the throne. He's got to be totally blown away here. Okay, and he looks at the one sitting on the throne and he describes him as jasper and carnelian. Jasper is kind of like a ruby. It's like a red and clear stone. And carnelian is like a crystal or a diamond, basically. But he doesn't describe him as flesh and blood. He's like glowing like gems. This is not a normal person that he sees. He's just blown away by this. And then on top of that, there is just this rainbow of green. I don't know how it classifies as a rainbow, if it's only one color, but we get the concept. It's unbelievable. I mean, just try to picture that. He's looking at a throne, at a person who looks like precious stones, and there's just this big rainbow around him. That's crazy. Okay, let's keep reading. Around the throne, there were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning 7 torches of fire, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne, there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. Okay, image is getting crazier. So we have the giant throne, and around it, there's 24 more small thrones. And on him, on those seats, are 24 elders, which many believe somehow, in some way, represent all believers of all time. They got white robes on, they're wearing gold crowns, and later in the passage, they're getting down on their knees and they're just putting those crowns at his feet. You know, this is where we get that song, we fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. But it's just this symbol of, we give you everything. You deserve everything. And so there's these 24 outers. Okay, and then it says, get this, lightning bolts, not coming from the sky, coming from the throne. That's crazy. Okay, I've been to Tampa Bay, the lightning capital of the world. I guess this is why they're called the Tampa Bay Lightning. But we're sitting in this restaurant one time, right on the bay, and there's just this crazy storm, and the lightning is coming down, and it just hits the bay, and the like just stays on the water. Like, you can see, like, the bolt for, like, 5 seconds. It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. But imagine that coming from a throne. Like, these bolts are just like, I can't even describe it. Like, it's unbelievable. And the throne is rumbling like thunder. And then the really scary part is the guy sitting on it is not even fazed by any of this. Then he says there's 7 torches of fire, which somehow represent the Spirit of God. That's kind of a mystery to me. I don't really know that part. I don't really understand exactly how that representation works. But I do know that if I was there, I'd be scared. Guy on a throne, doesn't look like a person, lightning coming out of his throne, 7 pillars of fire like coming up out of the floor. This is kind of a crazy scene here. But then it says all around it is a sea of glass, crystal clear. The water is calm despite this ridiculously raging storm in the room. What? I mean, my experience, when there's a raging storm, the water's kind of going crazy. Disciples experienced that too. And then Jesus just said, be calm, and it was. But here, craziness is happening, water's still calm. That's pretty awesome. All right, picking up at the end of verse 6. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are 4 living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the 4 living creatures, each of them with 6 wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lived forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. So there's these 4 creatures. Get this. Covered in eyes. That's kind of weird. And then they each have 6 wings. Wings also covered in eyes. In front, behind, outside, inside. I mean, it just crazy describes it, right? Okay, one's like a lion, one's like an eagle, one's like an ox, and one looks like a person. Okay, we've seen mythical creatures in movies and stuff, but a person covered in eyes with 6 wings. That's weird. Okay, if I see one of those creatures, I'm done. I mean, maybe I pass out. Maybe I need a change of clothes. I mean, I don't know. But there's not just one of them. There's 4 of them. And there's 4 of these creatures that could easily intimidate Andre the Giant. Or Goliath, if that helps you get a picture if you don't know who Andre the Giant is. If you don't, you should figure out who he is. But I mean, they're intimidating, scary creatures covered in eyes. Remember that. And they spend the whole time in awe of God, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come." Creatures that could destroy anything are in awe of him in the throne that glows like gems, sits in a throne with lightning coming out of it, all that crazy stuff. And then when they give praise, the elders follow in suit, just laying everything at his feet. Always. And this is the God that we can have a personal relationship with, and we can come to his throne, this crazy picture that we've just developed, and talk to him. And we fall asleep. And we try to impress him. What are we doing? What is it going to be like to stand in the presence of God? When was the last time you've even thought about that? Besides this morning. We're still focused on the things of this earth, on the things that matter to us. We keep bringing up the past. We keep asking God to turn our car into a Lamborghini, or to help that lady at work see us differently. Whatever it is. But Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Don't think about the stuff that matters down here. Think about the stuff that matters up there, which is God. He is what matters up there. He is all that matters up there, and everyone knows it. Where is your focus? Are you focused on earthly things and making for yourself a God who fits what you want him to be? Or are you focused on an eternity in the presence of the amazing God who John struggled for words to describe? I mean, really struggled. It's time that we learn more about God. It's time that we get a more accurate picture of him in our minds. And when you worship, your life will change, because your view of God is accurate. When we come here on Sundays, when you spend time with God, wherever you spend time with God, you need to realize it's not about you. It's about worshiping this God who deserves more praise than you can possibly imagine. And now, after looking at Revelation chapter 4, you've got this kind of crazy, amazing picture in your mind. I want you to hold on to that while I read this next verse, Hebrews 4:16. "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Approach that pretty terrifying scene with reverence and awe, because he is your king. But also come with bold assurance, because he is also your father and your counselor. You see, worship is multifaceted. And while its main purpose and goal is to give praise to the God who deserves it, If you give him everything, if you lay it all down at his feet, he will transform your life. But you got to do the first part. I want you to spend your week focusing on learning more about God and getting that accurate picture in your head. And then next week, we're going to talk about what follows in the life transformation when you give him everything. Let's pray. Lord, we're in awe of you this morning. Please increase our view of who you are and what you are like. Lord, help us to be like those creatures who never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Lord, take the time from our lives to get to know you more, to get away from caring about ourselves and our stuff, but focusing on you and allowing you to do the rest. In your name we pray. Amen.